Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Good to see everybody here on a Friday night. It is Friday night, right? I've lost track of the days, kind of. I don't know if the Spurs are playing tonight, but I'm glad you're here. If they are playing tonight, I'm really glad you're here.
Amen.
I don't know what's showing at the movie theater, but I'm glad you came here instead. I hope you won't be disappointed. You know, we need meetings like this, and I don't mean just revival meetings. I just mean meetings with God's people. Just keep us reminded on what's important. Take this world, but give me Jesus. This world is not all it's cracked up to be. And Jesus will give you a whole lot more than this world can give you. And He won't let you down. Somebody asked me tonight what I was preaching. And I was reminded of that preacher that was preaching the revival for a couple of weeks. And he had gone for a week or longer, just preaching really tough messages, just hellfire and damnation, and he was just not cutting any slack at all. And finally somebody said, "Preacher, give us a break. Cut us some slack. Preach on heaven." He said, "All right, I'll do that. Tomorrow night I'm going to preach on heaven." So the whole church came out. They had a packed house. He preached on heaven. And why you ain't going. I'm not going to preach on heaven tonight. And I sure hope you're going. And if you're not going, I'm going to tell you how to get there. I hope you'll listen and find out that it's not what the world thinks it is. Going to heaven is not only a simple thing. The Bible calls it the simplicity in Christ. And it's the best decision you could ever make in your entire life. No better decision. So I want to start tonight with the book of Song of Solomon. We're going to read chapter 4. And we're going to read starting verse 12. Song of Solomon 4:12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up. A fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Camphor with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron. Calamus and cinnamon. With all trees of frankincense. Myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens. A well of living waters. And streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, that my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for the freedom we have to meet together and worship your name. Bless your word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the bride and about the garden. You know, the Bible talks about the church as the bride of Christ. Not the church that's organized, not the church that's out on the corner down the street, not the church building, but the body of believers that has been saved by Jesus Christ and on their way to heaven. The Bible calls us the bride. We're the bride of Christ. And I want to talk about that tonight because I think there's some really blessed truths that we can encourage our hearts with about the bride of Christ. The first thing I think about the bride is that she's a chosen bride. Jesus said, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. She's a chosen bride. You know, it was not an arranged marriage. Jesus came and He chose the bride. He came this earth and He chose us out. He's like Eliezer going to find a bride for Isaac. He chose the bride for Isaac. Jesus Christ came and He chose out a bride. We've been chosen by Him. We're a chosen generation, the Bible says. A chosen generation. It says in the book of James, this is a good one, the book of James in chapter 2, and verse 5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world, this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him?" We're a chosen bride. We were poor. We didn't have anything to offer the groom. We had nothing to give Him, but He chose us. In our poverty, He came and He chose us out. We've been chosen. He's not stuck with us. It's not something that He was just stuck with. He actually chose us out. You know, when I try to feel good about myself, I tell Debbie that of all the women in the world, I chose her.
Amen.
I don't think she believes me that way, but it makes me feel good anyway. Out of everybody, God chose you. If you're saved today, He chose you. Out of everybody out there. You think you're special? You know you're not special. But He chose you. You're a chosen bride. He's not just stuck with you like He had no other choice. He actually made you His bride. That ought to make you happy. You know, not everybody chose you. A lot of people didn't choose you. A lot of people didn't choose me. I'm glad Debbie chose me. But you know what? Jesus chose me. He made me His own. He made you His own if you're saved today. He's not just stuck with you. And you weren't even the last choice. It's not like He had no other recourse. He could have made some more people, couldn't He? But He chose you. You're not the last choice. You're His choice. But you know what? You're also a purchased bride. He purchased you. He bought you. Not with silver and gold. Not with a $1 lottery ticket. He bought you with His own precious blood.
Amen.
He went to the cross and shed His blood to buy you for Himself. To buy you for eternity. You're a purchased bride. You're not a borrowed bride. He didn't borrow you to make Himself look good. He didn't borrow you just to make some kind of a statement. No, He purchased you with His own blood. He didn't lease you as a good investment. No, sir. He purchased you. You've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. But not only that, He wooed you. Look in the book of Hosea in chapter 11. The book of Hosea in chapter 11, verse 4, says, "I drew them with the cords of a man with bands of love." He drew you with bands of love. You were wooed by the Savior. You were wooed by Jesus Christ. He didn't steal you. He's not a husband that steals a bride. He wooed His own bride. He came and sought out His bride and wooed her unto Himself. He drew her unto Himself. He drew you unto Himself. The book of Ezekiel. Look what it says in Ezekiel chapter 16. I'm going to find out what Jesus did for you. Ezekiel 16, verse 4. "And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live! Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live! That was you. That was me. Laying in an open field in our blood. None I pitied you. None I pitied me. Religion didn't care about us. The world didn't care about us. The devil didn't care about us. Nobody cared about you. No one cared for your soul. But Jesus Christ came. And He came by you. And He cried unto you in your own blood. And He said, live. He gave you life. He wooed you with His love. He didn't woo you with money. He wooed you with love. He didn't come to you with manipulation. He didn't manipulate you. He wasn't a psychologist. He didn't use the psychology of today to try to convince you that you ought to come to Him and then later on you were disappointed. No, He wooed you with His love. He wooed you with His mercy, with His grace. He drew you unto Himself. With no manipulation, no exploitation. It was simple wooing of a loving Savior. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, but God, in verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Even when you were dead in your sins, laying in your own blood, He came in His mercy and He drew you unto Himself. He wooed you. He brought you unto Himself. That's the bride that you are. You've been wooed by a loving Savior. But you know what? We're also an exclusive bride. We're an exclusive bride. We are His only bride. We're not part, the bride is not part of a harem. She's the bride. We read in Revelation about the bride being adorned for her husband. Not the wives, not the brides, but the bride. It's one bride. Jesus came and He bought one bride. We are His exclusive bride. There's no, it's not a time-sharing bride. We're not, He didn't share us with somebody else. We're His. We belong to Him, solely to Him. Only to Him. We're not just a favorite wife. We're the bride. We're the only one. Not His favorite. We're His only bride. But you know what? We're also a chaste bride. Look in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. In verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. She's a chaste bride. She's a clean bride. You know what? She's not only been forgiven, she's been washed. Not only forgiven, she's been reconciled. Not only forgiven, she's been sanctified, justified, glorified. She's a chaste bride. Oh, the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave Himself for the bride in Ephesians chapter 5. And it says He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the bride. She is without blemish in God's eyes. You think that shouldn't make you happy? You think that shouldn't lift your spirits? That God has chosen and decided to cleanse you from all sin, from all iniquity, cleansed forever by the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's the bride you are. Oh, some days you might not feel very clean. Some days you may feel undone. You may feel like you've really blown it. Let me tell you something. The bride is a chaste bride. He's going to present us one day as a chaste bride, completely cleansed throughout body, soul, and spirit. That is the bride. She's a chaste bride. But one more thing. is that she's an eternal bride. Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Not now, not tomorrow, not the next day, not for eternity. There is no condemnation. She is an eternal bride. She's not a fair weather bride. And only a bride as long as she's, you know, doing just perfectly. No, she's the bride forever. She's a bride for everlasting. There may be no end to it. She's an everlasting bride. She's not a bride to be dumped at the first hint of infidelity. No, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, it says in chapter 2, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. The bride is the eternal bride. Even if you're not faithful, even if you've blown it, God says you're his eternal bride. That should lift your spirits. That shouldn't make you want to be unfaithful. That should make you ashamed that you would ever consider being unfaithful to your husband. That should make you ashamed you never think about stepping out on him. He's a loyal, loyal husband. She is the eternal bride. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I am persuaded, neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers. God be for us. Who can be against us? That's the bride. She's an eternal bride. That's your position. That's your blessing as the bride. And if you're not part of the bride, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you think that this makes no sense, you need to be saved. You need to become part of the bride. You need to get on your knees and ask God to save you. Because He can make you part of His bride. He can make you clean. He can forgive all your sins. That's why He came. And you know our text talks about the garden. Look back in our text in Song of Solomon chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 12 again. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. The Bible talks about the bride and likens the bride to a garden. For example, let's look in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 and verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You see, the bride is a garden. God says her soul shall be like a watered garden. You see, when God saves us, His purpose was to make us like a garden. A garden. And what's in this garden? Look there in back in our text in Song of Solomon. And look what's in the garden. Chapter 4 again. Verse 13. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Pleasant fruits. Camphor, spikenard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon. Trees of frankincense. Myrrh, aloes, chief spices. Fountain of gardens. Well of living waters. Streams from Lebanon. That is what the bride is, a garden. God ordained for us to be a garden full of fruits, fruits of righteousness, full of good fruits, full of pleasant fruits, with the spices, the prayer, the praise, the joy, the singing in our hearts. Our soul is supposed to be like a watered garden. And if you're saved, you probably remember the time when you got saved and your soul became a watered garden. Your soul became full of joy. Maybe it was desert before. Maybe you were just dry as a bone. Maybe you had no hope. And then you realize what God has done for you. He cleansed you. He made you His bride forever. And your soul became a watered garden. You had joy in your heart. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You had joy in your heart. You had happiness. You had gladness. Not because of your circumstances, but joy of the Lord. Joy in your heart. The fruit. The joy. The spring and the fountain, He says. A fountain of living waters. Jesus said, if any man come unto me in John chapter 7, what did He say there? He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Remember those days when the rivers of living water flowed from your belly, from your heart? Remember the days when you couldn't stop singing the songs of Zion? When you just couldn't get enough of the singing, enough of God's Word? You couldn't praise God enough? That's the fountain of, that's the watered garden that God creates in your soul when He saves you. That's what He said. He said, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. It's a well, a fountain, streams from Lebanon. He says He'll bring streams in the desert. Remember those days? Streams in your desert? That's what God did in your soul when He saved you. But I wonder if we don't miss something. It says in the Bible, it says, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? I wonder if we forget sometimes that the garden is for Him.
Amen.
Your soul is going to be a watered garden, but not for yourself. It's for Him. So, the question is, are you a garden for Him? Because there's a problem with this garden. Back in our text, Song of Solomon chapter 4, there's a problem with the garden. She's enclosed. She's closed. Closed up. I wonder why. Is your garden closed? Is your garden all grown over with weeds, nettles? Have to ask yourself why sometimes. What's missing? Why is this soul that was a watered garden now not such a garden anymore? Well, there are several possibilities. One of them could be found in the book of Hosea, chapter 10. Verse 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. That was not the point. God didn't save you to bring you for you to bring forth fruit unto yourself. He didn't save you to make you something special for you, to make just you happy. You're His vineyard. You're His garden. You were saved to bring pleasure to Him first and foremost. But we get all distracted and we think that it's all about us. And we just get all excited about what God has given us and what we have, and we forget that we're supposed to be a garden for Him. Bring forth fruit to ourselves. Or maybe it's closed up because you don't like the purging. He says in John 15, he says that in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Maybe you close your garden to God because you don't like Him trimming away the bad stuff. You don't like Him getting the knife out and getting the clippers out and kind of doing some trimming on you. So you don't want to open up your garden. You want to stay just like you are. You don't want any changes. You don't want anything messed up. And you don't realize that we all need that purging. We all need that knife. We all need those clippers to take off the rough ends, the rough edges. It's a fountain. I mean, it's a garden enclosed. Maybe you're afraid of little foxes. Maybe you've just gotten so defensive. You're just afraid that everything and everybody out there is out to hurt you. And you don't even want to let God close to you. You don't want to let God just enjoy what He has done for you and get the glory from your lips and from your life and from your thoughts and from your mind and from your heart. Maybe you're just already in bed. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Maybe you're just too tired. God wants to meet with you. He wants to enjoy the fruit of His garden. He wants to enjoy you. He wants you to give time to Him and worship Him and praise Him and sing to Him and pray to Him and give Him fruit. But you're just too tired. You're already in bed. You don't have time for Him. You're too busy. There's too many things to do. And then sometimes you do wake up, you feel like it's too late. That's the state of the garden. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be an open garden. It's supposed to be open to Him. Only for Him, but open to Him. Well, not only is the garden shut up, enclosed, back in our text it says, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Is your fountain sealed? That fountain of living waters, you find it sealed off? Like somebody just put a cork in it? Is your fountain sealed? Is your spring shut up? Valve turned off? You don't want any joy to get out of you? No joy can come out of you anymore. You've lost your joy of your salvation. You've lost the joy of being saved. You've lost the joy of heaven. You've lost the joy of living for God. You've lost the joy of winning souls. Is your fountain just sealed off? Maybe it is. The Bible says that Sometimes sin make you lose your joy, your salvation. Unconfessed sin. David in Psalm 51. We all know the story of David. Psalm 51. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Have you let sin in your life steal your joy? Have you let unconfessed sin in your life rob you of the joy of believing, the joy of going to heaven, the joy of your sins forgiven? Have you let unconfessed sin just shut down all the fountains of living water that are in your soul? Maybe you have. Maybe you've become bitter. You know, Ruth became bitter. Life can make us bitter. Disappointments, troubles, sorrows can make us bitter. Book of Ruth, chapter 1. I said Ruth is Naomi. Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You feel afflicted by God? And you feel bitter against God? Your God has done you wrong. Dealt you a bad deal. You expected better. You had a different plan for your future. It wasn't like God, like you thought it would be. And you get bitter. And your fountain gets all sealed up. And you lose your joy. Or maybe you just got into a habit of just complaining. Just to complain. Complaining can make you bitter. Complaining can make you full of anger. Can make you difficult to be around. It can steal your joy. It'll steal, just shut up your fountain. And that's not what God saved you for. He didn't save you for you to be a complainer. He didn't save us for us to walk around with long faces. He didn't save us for us to go to heaven and only there be happy. He saved us so our soul would be like a watered garden. Even if times are tough, your soul can be like a watered garden. That's why you have to watch for these things, like unconfessed sin, bitterness, disappointments, and you forget that you belong to God, that you're His garden, that He bought you for Himself. You're not your own private garden. You're not your own person. You're not an island. And what you do does affect other people. And what you do is supposed to bring honor to God. And what you do is supposed to be an example to those around you. And your soul can be a watered garden again. Our text, back in the Song of Solomon, look what it tells us. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. You know what the garden needs? It needs wind. It needs a north wind. It needs a south wind. Sometimes the winds are cold. Sometimes they're hot. Sometimes they're boisterous. Sometimes they're contrary. Sometimes the winds bring troubles. Sometimes they bring storms. Sometimes they bring all kinds of heartache. But God says, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. You ever wonder why God lets the wind come? You ever wonder why it gets so windy in your life sometimes? You ever wonder why it seems like it's just too much? There's a reason for the wind. It says here, God wants to blow upon the garden that the spices may flow out. The wind and the troubles that we face in our lives are there for a purpose. God wants to use these things to bring out the spices and the fruits out of a garden for Himself. Are you holding back the wind? Are you mad at God for the wind? The wind brings different things. Even Jesus Christ can even calm the worst wind out there and give you peace in your heart. That the spices may flow out. What's flowing out of you when the wind blows? When the wind blows in your life, what comes out of your mouth? Complaining? Anger? Gossip? Bitterness? Or spices? Songs? Joy? Gladness, thanksgiving, praise, worship, prayer, calling out to God. That's what's supposed to come out. That's the purpose for the wind. That's the purpose for the trials, that the spices may flow out. And then it says, in verse 16, the last part, let my beloved come into His garden. See you there? His garden. You're His. You're not yours. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And you ought to be asking God and giving Him free entrance into your garden, into your life, into your heart. You ought to be completely open to God and then do whatever He wants to do in your life. Whatever is happening in your life, it's for a purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. All things. Well, let him come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Is God eating pleasant fruits out of your heart tonight? Is God getting pleasant fruit or is it bitter fruit? Is God getting what He deserves out of you tonight? Is God getting the joy out of your heart, the thanksgiving? Is God getting what He bought you for? He did buy you and you're His. Let Him come into His garden and eat His pleasant fruits. I mean, you know, there's one more thing the bride has to say. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth, say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what the bride says to you tonight? Come. Come to Jesus. Come to the one who saved us. Come to the one who died for us. Come to the one who shed his own blood for you. Come to the one who saw you in your own blood when no one else cared for you and gave his life for you. Come to him. You don't need religion. Religion will leave you as dead as you were before. Religion won't make your soul a watered garden. Religion won't give you the joy of the forgiveness of sins. It cannot give you the forgiveness nor the joy. Come to Jesus. The bride says, come. It says, let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty for life? Are you thirsty for everlasting life? Are you thirsty for forgiveness? Do you need God's mercy? Do you know how much you need His mercy tonight? Because you can come if you're thirsty. And then He says, whosoever will, then take the water of life freely. Freely. He's already paid for it. He's already paid the debt. He's already with His own blood paid everything for you. All He says is come. Come and ask. Come and receive. Come and buy without money. You don't need money to get saved. You just need a humble heart. And to come to Jesus and ask Him. And He'll make your soul like a watered garden. And you'll be His. His own exclusive bride. His own forever. You just come to Him. But it seems to me like most of us here tonight probably already know that. How's your soul doing? Is it a watered garden tonight? Is God getting what He deserves out of your soul, out of your heart, out of your mouth, out of your life, out of your testimony? I think He deserves a whole lot more than He gets. I think we ought to give Him a whole lot more, and we're giving Him now. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. God, thank You for saving our souls. Thank You for making us Your own. We're so unworthy. Lord, turn us from the things that distract us, the things that discourage us, the things that depress us, and Lord, make us happy to be Your bride, happy to be Your garden, and a watered garden. Have mercy on us, Lord, in Jesus' name.